Narayanam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam odirayat. You're chanting and being in class? You have to listen or chant. You can't do both. Because if you're in Bhagavatam class and you're chanting japa, then you're not doing either properly. So, yeah. Although you can't count them as your rounds. Like that. They have to be one or the other. That's all. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, chapter entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva, text number 12. Vibhudha Sura Gandharva Muni Siddha Naroraga Vijita Surya Dikshu Kwanayantaiva Nupurai Vibhudha Sura Gandharva Muni Siddha Naroraga Vijita Surya Dikshu Kwanayantyaiva Nupurai Vibhudha Sura Gandharva Muni Siddha Naroraga Vijita Surya Dikshu Kwanayantyaiva Nupurai. Vibhudha, learned. Asura, the demons. Gandharva, the denizens of Gandharva Loka. Muni, great sages. Siddha, the denizens of Siddha Loka. Nara, the inhabitants of the earthly planets. Uruga, denizens of Nagaloka. Vijita, captivated. Suyaya, by the new bride. Dikshu, in all directions. Kwanayantya, tinkling. Eva, only. Nupurai, by her ankle bells. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. While Shatadruti was thus being married, the demons, the denizens of Gandharva Loka, the great sages and the denizens of Siddha Loka, the earthly planets of Naga Loka, although highly exalted, were all captivated by the tinkling of her ankle bells. Translation responsively. While Shatadruti was thus being married, the demons, the denizens of Gandharva Loka, the great sages, and the denizens of Siddha Loka, the earthly planets and Naga Loka, although highly exalted, were all captivated by the tinkling of her ankle bells. Purport. Generally, a woman becomes more beautiful when, after an early marriage, she gives birth to a child. To give birth to a child is the natural function of a woman, and therefore a woman becomes more and more beautiful as she gives birth to one child after another. In the case of Shatadruti, however, she was so beautiful that she attracted the whole universe at her marriage ceremony. Indeed, she attracted all the learned and exalted demigods simply by the tinkling of her ankle bells. This indicates that all the demigods wanted to see her beauty completely, and they were not able to see it because she was fully dressed and covered with ornaments. Since they could only see the feet of Shatadruti, they became attracted by her ankle bells, which tinkled as she walked. In other words, the demigods became captivated by her simply by hearing the tinkling of her ankle bells. They did not have to see her complete beauty. It is sometimes understood that a person becomes lusty just by hearing the tinkling of bangles on the hands of a woman, or the tinkling of ankle bells, or just by seeing a woman's sari. Thus it is concluded that woman is the complete representation of Maya. Although Vishwamitra Muni was engaged in practicing mystic yoga with closed eyes, his transcendental meditation was broken when he heard the tinkling of bangles on the hands of Menaka. In this way, Vishwamitra Muni became a victim of Menaka and fathered a child who was universally celebrated as Shakuntala. The conclusion is that no one can save himself from the attraction of woman, even though he be an exalted demigod or an inhabitant of higher planets. Only a devotee of the Lord who is attracted by Krishna can escape the lures of women. Once one is attracted by Krishna, the illusory energy of the world cannot attract him. Omagyan Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapatantikam Vancha Kaupatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Rama Hare Hare. So famous line here in Prabhupada's purport. Prabhupada says, thus it is concluded that woman is the complete representation of Maya. Quite a famous verse. Women are the complete representation of Maya. Any questions or comments? Prabhupada writes things that are difficult to palate, especially for the modern world. Now, you say this to some non-devotee, I think, well, it's very challenging, very heavy. One thing we have to understand, everything Prabhupada says is true. Yeah. Unless Prabhupada says it's not true, then it is true. Sometimes Prabhupada would retract things. There are examples. If you look in the Harisaraprabhu's diary, Prabhupada would write something, and Harisaraprabhu would say, Prabhupada, is that correct? And Prabhupada would look and said, no, and then he would retract it. But it was quite rare. Like that. But generally, if Prabhupada says something, then it is true. We have this faith in Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was representing Krishna. Even when he wrote his purports, the devotees said that Krishna is like inspiring Prabhupada from within the heart. And Prabhupada said, no, Krishna is sitting next to me and dictating to me, and I'm writing. Yeah. So he was directly connected to Krishna. So someone who's directly connected to Krishna is perfect. Prabhupada is perfect in his realization, in his personality. So he's saying here, so it must be true. Women are the... where is it? Women are the complete representation of Maya. What is Maya? That's what we have to analyze. That which is not, right? Maya means illusion. Maya is what we are all in right now. Hands up if you're not in Maya. One person? I know you're in the temple. I know you're in the temple. I can see you're in the temple. That is good also. We are all in the temple. But are you seeing spirit or are you seeing matter? So if you're seeing matter only, then you are in Maya. Right? If you're seeing spirit, then you are liberated. At this point in time, we are seeing material energy. That's Maya. Prabhupada said to Giriraj Maharaj, he said, "You are always in Maya." And then he walked off down the beach. And Giriraj Maharaj chased Prabhupada. You have to be close to Prabhupada. You have to be close to your guru. This is the message of the Bhagavatam. Close to guru, close to Prabhupada, then you are liberated. On your own, you will not become liberated. Even Prabhupada said, for us to go back to Godhead, we have to become 70% pure. And then maybe Lord Chaitanya will cover the rest and take us back. But still, 70% is a serious commitment. And how do we know what is 70%? I might be 70% now, but I might be 40% or 10%. I'm not actually sure. We have to wait and see what Lord Chaitanya says. So it means you have to keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. Be serious as a devotee. So that at the time of death, then, if Lord Chaitanya permits, then he will cover what is lacking and he can take you back to the spiritual world. In the meantime, we have to become aware of what is Maya. Maya is illusion, that which is not. And we are always trapped by Maya in this material world. So Maya is very powerful. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Daivi hyesha gunamayi mama maya dirachaya. Why is Maya so powerful? Because Krishna says mama maya. It is his energy. That's why it is so powerful. Because it's created by Krishna himself. So Krishna can easily bewilder you. Krishna can easily liberate you also. Krishna could take you back to Godhead right now, easily. He could just take all the Maya away and take you back, if he wants. Or he can keep you in Maya, completely in Maya. He's being easy on us at this point in time. If he wanted, he could completely cover us, if he wanted. That's how powerful his Maya is. So Maya means that which is not. So that which is not means you see one thing, but you think it's the other thing. So definition of Maya is you see something in the material world, you said, that will give me happiness, but actually it gives you distress. Right? That's Maya. And that's what the whole world is based on. You see everyone's running around. Oh, that will give me happiness, that will give me happiness. Does it work? Why aren't they all happy then? Go and jump on the tram. Right, we'll have a Hare Krishna excursion. We'll get up now and we'll all run down to the corner and we'll jump on the tram and we'll look at all the people. Do they look happy? Not really. Some do, but... why is that? Because they think that will make them happy. They think if they get on the tram and go to work, they can work hard, get lots of money, and at the end of the week they can enjoy themselves. But then what happens at the end of the week? Everyone is too tired and they just sleep. And then the perfection of life becomes sleeping in till 12 o'clock on a Saturday. So this is not the goal of life. So you think it will give you happiness, but it will not. So Prabhupada is saying that... I keep losing the line. Woman is the complete representation of Maya. So then someone can say, well, that's a sexist statement. Right? It's not sexist. Right? Then just reverse it the other way. For a woman, what's the complete representation of Maya? A man. Right? So it's the same thing. You just reverse it. The same thing. Right? Women are completely bewildered by men. They did a survey in America a number of years ago. And when they said to the men, what are you looking for in the woman? What did 80% say? What are the men looking for in the women? Intelligence? Yeah, that was the 20%. I'm talking about the 80%. What are the 80% looking for? What's that?
In a survey they say personality, but actually that's not true.
Yeah, that's the 20%. Yeah. What's the 80%? Yeah. Yeah, they're beautiful. You know, they can be stupid. They can be a bad cook. Right? They can forget to pick up the kids after school. But if they're beautiful, we'll keep them. No problem. That's Maya. That's illusion. If a woman is beautiful, then men are like... You see all the men, right? One beautiful woman is there, everyone's like... Well, they can't even function. They start dropping everything and like... Oh. Right? It's the nature of feminine potency, shakti. I mean, if you go to the spiritual platform, Krishna is not in Mahamaya, Krishna is dealing with Yogamaya, spiritual energy. But Krishna becomes bewildered when he sees Srimati Radharani. Radharani comes in the morning. Krishna, where does Krishna live? How are you ever going to find Krishna if you don't even know where he lives? Where does he live? Nandagram. Nandagram. You go to Vrindavan, you can see the place, Nandagram. So Krishna is there, and what does Krishna do in the morning? After he gets up, what does he do? Yeah, he milks cows. Did you know that? He milks cows. So he's milking the cow, and then Radharani comes from Javat, or Bashana, to cook Krishna's breakfast. So she's coming, so Krishna's milking the cows, and then he looks, and he's like, okay, Radharani is coming. Right? This is not Mahamaya, this is Yogamaya, this spiritual thing. But I'm just so you understand. Krishna's milking, he sees Radharani, so then he goes over, and he's so bewildered, because, oh, Radharani is there. And then he gets underneath a bull, and he starts going. And Radharani walks past, and said, oh, that's very good. He said, I've never seen anyone milk a bull before. Keeps walking. Right? Just Radharani looking at Krishna. Right? Krishna is completely bewildered. That's the power of the female potency. That's why women have to practice chastity. They have to understand their potency, their shakti, and they have to be chaste because they have to protect the men. It is the duty of the women to protect the men. Now, what does chastity mean? It's an internal state of consciousness. It's in the subtle body. It's in the mind, the intelligence, and the ego. That's where it is. And the woman has to be chaste, which means, Prabhupada gave the example, this is before he came to America, when he was in India many years ago. And Prabhupada said there was a... Because in India, people, even to this day, they're very conscious of class. Like someone, if someone's like a cleaner, they're not considered like very... You know, so the people who have the wealth and everything, they don't respect them so much. Even now it is there. So then she was very simple. She's just like a cleaner, very simple person. And then she came, and the men were there near the door, and they were having like some talking. And she came, and she like covered herself like that, and she was very, she had the energy of chastity. And just because of her energy, she wanted to go through the door, all the men parted. Because they understood, here is a chaste woman. Doesn't matter what class she is, but because of that chastity, she became potent. And all the men parted, and then she could walk through. Prabhupada saw that. He said, that is the power of chastity. So the woman must have that quality. When she has that quality, she earns the respect of the men. The men become respectful. And then she controls her shakti. Women can easily control men. Men are easy to control. Yeah, men think they're very, I'm so powerful. But no, men are easy to control. Right? Actually says in the Bhagavatam that the Digvijay, which means the man who has conquered all the directions, means the most powerful man, the emperor. The emperor, he can conquer all the men on the planet. But when he comes inside the inner chambers of his palace and his wife just looks at him and she just raises one eyebrow, right? Then he falls down on his back, right? And she can put her foot on his chest. And that man who conquered all the other men is conquered by one woman, just because she moved her eyebrow. That's the power, the Shakti of the woman. So the women have to control that Shakti. That's why we sit separately. Right? We have to have some like that. And the women have to, you have to imbibe that quality of chastity. Because it is good for your spiritual life and it is also good for the spiritual life of the men. And the men have to learn to control their minds. That's why we have, in the beginning of our life, brahmacharya. That's why we have brahmacharya ashram. So most of you didn't go through brahmacharya ashram. Right? But actually to go through brahmacharya ashram is very good because it teaches you to control the mind. And the man should not be looking for the woman. The man should respect the chaste women, not looking for the women who are unchaste. You need to control your mind. Respect the women. The men should not associate with the women who are unchaste, right? Who are always giggling and laughing and trying to control them. The men should be unattracted to that. I don't want to associate like that, right? I want to associate with the women who are controlled, right? Who are focused on Krishna, not who are whimsical. So then if you need to associate with the opposite sex, right, the Vedic system is called Grihastha Ashram. Right? You get married. Right? You want to associate, then you get married. You can't just associate with all the women. You can't associate with all the men. Right? You get married, Krishna gives you someone you can associate with. Right? That is the system. Then you learn to become Krishna conscious, because the material energy is very powerful. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, in one of his purports, I think maybe chapter 12, but somewhere in the Gita, later section of the Gita, Prabhupada says the desire for illicit sex is so powerful that even in someone who is married becomes attracted to someone who is not their husband or wife. That's how powerful the desire is. Material energy is so powerful and material desires are so powerful. Even we're not married to that person, but we become attracted to them for illicit sex. And you see in this world, people are doing it all the time. Right? It should not happen amongst the devotees. Even amongst the devotees, sometimes it will happen. So that's why Prabhupada is saying, This line is a famous line. Thus it is concluded. What does it mean, concluded? Summary. Yeah, summary means, it means like this is the end. This is the final statement. There's not further discussion. This is the conclusion. This is all the Vedic knowledge. Just like last night in our class, we're discussing chapter 87 of the 10th canto. What is chapter 87 of the 10th canto called? If you want breakfast this morning, you have to know the answer. Okay, you can have breakfast. Well, that's all. Prayers of the Personified Vedas. It's a very important chapter, actually. So it means all the Vedas, it means 28 Upanishads, principal books within the Vedic literature, they personify and they offer their prayers. They give like their conclusion of the conclusion of the entire book is given in one verse. It's like a sutra. Sutra means like a verse which has a very deep meaning within it. Right? It's like the conclusion of Vedic knowledge. So Prabhupada said, this is the conclusion. What is the conclusion? The conclusion is, woman is the complete representation of Maya.
That means for men. And then for women, if you're confused about that, you just reverse it. You say, man is a complete representation of Maya. Right? Maituni bhav. Pumsa, striya, maituni bhava meitam. Right? Bhagavatam says, maituni. Maituni means twins. Just like we have someone who's born under the constellation or the star sign Gemini. Twins. Maituni means two. Pumsa, striya, means man, woman. Right? That is what binds us in the material world. That maituni bhav means the attraction between the sexes. Well, then people these days, some people are born homosexual. It means they're attracted to woman, woman, or man, man, right? Or man, woman, or woman, man, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. It's all the same. Heterosexual, homosexual, it's just the same thing. You're attracted by Maya. Whatever the attraction is, that doesn't really matter, right? You're just attracted by Maya. And that keeps you in the material world. Hridaya grantim ahu. What is Hridaya granta? No. Yeah, Hridaya means heart. Grantim means the knot. Tight rope in your heart, right? If you're attracted to a woman, attached to a woman, it's like a tight knot. Or attached to a man, it's like a tight knot. Right? Very hard to cut. And that's what keeps you in this material world, lifetime after lifetime. So you have to break the attachment. So now the question is, how do we break the attachment? Do you want to know?
Yes, please.
Okay, very good. Anyone else want to know? No, you're not very enthusiastic, so. Yeah, okay, you can tell me. That's all right. I'm just waiting for breakfast anyway, so it's like... She said, yes, please. She's enthusiastic. She wants to know. This is enthusiasm. Utsaha. Utsaha means enthusiasm. If you don't have enthusiasm, Rupa Goswami says you don't advance in Krishna consciousness. So because you don't want to know, we'll tell you tomorrow. I'll tell Russell after the class, but the rest of it. But if you want to know, how do we break the attachment, the knot within the heart? Krishna says, you have to take the sword, right? You take a sword. Sword is very sharp. Like the knot is very tight. So you can spend all the time just trying to undo the knot. How do I work it out? Like that. No, you just get a sword and you just go straight through it. Then the knot's broken. End of story. Right? Now, what is the sword? Krishna says, it has two sides. The sword has two sides. Two blades, right? One side is knowledge, the other side is detachment. Jnana Vairagya. Right? Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janaya Yashu Vairagyam Jnanaschayat Ahoitukam. What does Ahoituki mean? Ahoituki. Anyone know this word? Ahoituki. You should know it. It's an important word in our philosophy. Ahoituki means? Yeah. Causeless, yeah. Without expectation, causeless, very good. Unmotivated, Prabhupada says. Unmotivated. When you do devotional service, bhakti yoga, vasudev to Krishna, vasudev bhakti means devotion to Krishna, then causelessly two things will manifest in your consciousness. Knowledge, like realizations, right? And detachment. Prabhupada explains this in Krishna book. How do you know you're advancing in Krishna consciousness? Right? Because in your heart you're feeling detached from the material energy. Right? If you're not feeling detached from the material energy, then you should look at your application of devotional service very carefully. Because you're chanting, and you're doing so much service and taking so much prasadam, right? And, doing so many things, but if you're not becoming detached, then what's going on? It means something's not right in the application. No? So this is how we know. So it says the sword is knowledge and detachment. The more knowledge you... That's why we come to Bhagavatam class. That's why we study Prabhupada's books. The more knowledge you have, the more you become detached from the material world. Right? And then you develop a sense of renunciation. And that means you become detached. Right? So with that sword, then you cut the knot of attachment. Right? It's very hard to cut. And then you become free from Maya. And when you're free from Maya, you are 50% back to Krishna. Right? Becoming detached from Maya is 50% of the journey. What is the other 50%? Yeah, devotional service. What is it?
Surrender,
yeah. Yeah, but you have to come attached to Krishna. Right? Okay, if you're not attached to Maya, then what are you attached to? You have to be attached to something. Krishna says in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the soul cannot be inactive even for a moment. You have to be attached to something. Right? Being detached from any, that's what, you know, Buddhist philosophy and these things, it doesn't work. Be detached from everything. Everything is false. Everything is illusion. Okay, that's okay. Now what am I going to do? Nothing. Even the other day I saw someone advertising meditation. You know, clear your mind of everything. Try it. You know, just meditate and then... What is that? Then what are you going to do all day? Just go... You want something to eat? It doesn't even make sense. Your whole life is nothing. Everything is nothing. Nothing is everything. Okay. It does make sense in the first place, because if it's nothing, okay, please tell me what is nothing. Well, nothing, as soon as you begin to describe it, it's not nothing anymore. It's something. Right? So I want you to say, I'm meditating on something. It just doesn't even make sense. Our philosophy is perfect. So what is it we are aiming for? Okay, you're detached from the material energy. That's good. That's needed. That's wanted. Now what's next? You have to become attached to Krishna. Right? That Krishna is the most important thing in your life. What is the most important thing in your life? I heard a few whispers. A few people said Krishna. That's very good. That's very good. I hope that is true. Krishna is the most important. We'll see, actually. It's easy to say it. But if Krishna is the most important thing in your life, it will come out in your words and your deeds. Right? It means you'll be talking about Krishna. If you're talking about everything else but Krishna, then Krishna's not the main thing. Right? If you're doing everything else except devotional service, then Krishna's not the main thing. Easy to say it. Anyone can say, oh, Krishna is everything to me. Oh, so let's see. So Prabhupada is saying here, this is a conclusion. Very nice statement. No? It is concluded that woman is the complete representation of Maya. Right? It says here, men become disturbed just seeing a woman's sari. I just see the sari and the whole mood is, oh my Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yeah, meditating on saris. This is not the goal. This is not the goal. So it says here, how do you overcome these things? Prabhupada gives the conclusion. In the purport. The conclusion is that one can save himself from the attraction of woman, even though he may be an exalted demigod or inhabitant of the higher planets. Only a devotee of the Lord who is attracted to Krishna can escape the lures of women. So it's only devotional service. Bhakti mam abhijanati yavanyascha smitatvata. Krishna says, you can only know me by devotional service. You don't have any devotion, you don't know Krishna. The more you have devotion, the more you know Krishna. What's the most famous example in our tradition of someone who overcame Maya? Haridas Thakur. Yes, Haridas Thakur. Two times, Maya approached him. Right? One time, the prostitute was sent by the Chankazi. Go and disturb him. And what did Haridas Thakur say? Yeah, let me finish my rounds. He said, I will satisfy you, but you let me finish my rounds. How many rounds was he chanting? 300K. How many rounds is that? 192. Hands up if you ever chanted 192 in one day. What's the most you chanted in one day? 64? Hands up, you did 64. Really? Only a few devotees did 64. You should all do 64 sometime in your life. Good. You should do it sometimes. Jamashtami or Akadashi or something. You should do 64 sometimes. So 192. So he said to the prostitute, I will satisfy you, but just let me finish my rounds. Just wait here. Right? So 192. Depends how fast you're chanting, but it takes about 22 hours. It's nearly all day. So he kept chanting. Finally she said, are you finished? He said, yes, I'm finished, but now I have to chant tomorrow's rounds. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Keep chanting. Right? He said, just wait. Today, when I finish today, I will satisfy you. Okay, no problem. Wait all day. Are you finished? I'm finished, but now? Tomorrow's rounds. 3 days, she was just with Haridas Thakur. But she became purified by association. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sava Shastri Koi, Lava Matra. Sadhu Sange, Sava Siddhi Hoi. Sava Siddhi means all perfection, complete perfection. Lava Matra means Lava Matra. What is Lava Matra? Very good. 1/11th of a second. How much is 1/11th of a second? How long does it take you to blink? 1/11th of a second. That's Lava Matra. Right? This is Lava Matra. Right? One blink is Lava Matra. That much association with a pure devotee can make you a pure devotee. You don't have to see Prabhupada just for a second, and pure devotion begins to manifest. So Haridas Thakur was so powerful that she spent 3 days with him. At the end, he said, now I can satisfy you. He said, no, I don't want, now I want to be a devotee like you. I want to be your disciple. She got initiated by him. Haridas Thakur initiated her. He gave her the beads. He said, now you chant. And then he left. He went to another place. And then she became famous as a great saint. She chanted continuously. So this is how to overcome Maya. So if Maya is attacking you, one time I was speaking to one of the senior devotees in ISKCON. And I said, Maharaj, Maya is everywhere. He said, no. He said, Maya is also within. That's the real Maya you have to worry about. The outside Maya is powerful, but the Maya that you really have to worry about is the Maya that's in here, in your mind. Maya is very powerful. So this is how you deal with your mind. This is how you deal with Maya. When you're chanting and your mind says, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that, I have this desire, you just say, no problem. When we finish chanting, we'll get to that. And then when you finish chanting, you say to your mind, okay, no problem, but I have to do some service now. After that, we'll get to that. And you just keep saying that to your mind for the rest of your life, and then it will never come. And eventually your mind will say, okay, let's just do this devotional service. Because that's all you focus on. So let's just focus on that. So this was the prostitute who came to Haridas Thakur. And then the second time, Maya herself, Maya Devi herself, personified, she came and she tried to allure Haridas Thakur. Right? And she gave up. And Prabhupada points this out. Only a devotee can conquer Maya. Anyone else is conquered. And Prabhupada gives the famous examples like Vishwamitra Muni. Menaka, he was in meditation. He heard the ankle bells of Menaka, and then what happened? Right? his meditation broke. He thought, well, what is that? Right? And then he gave up his meditation and he went off to enjoy with Menaka. And they gave birth to that child, Shakuntala. Right? Also in the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam, what's the example which is given? Huh? Sobari. Sobari, same thing. He was down underwater and he saw the fish copulating. The fish were having sex underwater, and then he thought, oh, I remember that. 60,000 years ago, I remember that, before I got into the water. So then he got out of the water, he went, right? He married how many girls? I think it was 100, from memory. I can't remember. It was a lot. You know, married a lot of girls, and had 10 kids with every girl. Right? And at the end, he said, okay, that's enough, back into the water. Because it didn't satisfy him. Right? Only devotional service can satisfy one. Right? Only the devotee can overcome the attachment to Maya. Haridas Thakur could do it, but Sabari could not do it. Right? Vishwamitra could not do it. Only he could do it. Right? So only the devotee can overcome Maya. Otherwise, it's not possible. Right? Everyone else will get completely disturbed by the material energy. So there's a famous purport. Prabhupada said, famous line. Right? There's a conclusion of the Vedic knowledge. How do we overcome attachment to Maya? You have to become attached to Krishna. Yeah? That's why when Rupa Goswami describes devotional service, he gives 9 levels. Right? So he says there is Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anatta Nivritti, Nishta. It's only when you get to Nishta, which is the 5th level, that you really start to get fixed up as a devotee. Then there is Ruchi, and then there is Asakti. Asakti literally means attachment. So when a devotee becomes really attached to Krishna, powerfully attached to Krishna, right? And then there is Bhava and there is Prema. Prema means complete attachment to Krishna. This is the only way to overcome Maya. You have to cultivate attachment to Krishna. So we'll stop here. We'll see if there's any questions or comments. What we discussed. 50. Thank you. Yeah, there's actually says in the Vedas, there's different ways to give up your desire for sense gratification. Hands up if you want to give up your desire for sense gratification. Okay. So, yeah, that's pretty hard, right? There's different ways, different Vedic ways. One way, which is actually said in the Vedas, is that you indulge your senses so much that your senses become sick of it, right? And then you give it up. That's one way. It's not the way that's recommended by our acharyas, but it is one way of doing it. Right? But I have seen it. You know, like I've eaten 30 gulab jamuns, 30 plus, and you get to about 36 and you start really thinking, okay, this is not the same as the first one. Yeah, it's one way of doing it. And then you become fully renounced. Right? They can't, you want another gulab? No, I'm okay. No, I'm totally sad. Yeah, it's like santosh. It means like completely satisfied. Nothing can attract me anymore. Right? But then the next day you just want to do it again. So it's not the way that's generally recommended for devotees. The way that's recommended for devotees is param jishtva nivartate. You get a higher taste. And when you get the higher taste, you just automatically give up. Nivartate means you give up the lesser things. That's our philosophy. That's how Haridas Thakur was able to overcome Maya herself. By a potency. Russell, you had a...
I was going to comment that on chastity, on the point of chastity, when you preach, it's very attractive, but it's very attractive when you compose all your disciples. No chastity's instructions and chastity push you when you
want to preach. Nice.
What was the comment?
we were speaking about how women have to cultivate that quality of chastity to protect themselves and to protect men. And Russell was extending the point that devotees are chaste or attached to the instruction of the guru, which is ultimately how we become liberated from attachment to Maya. So, any other point? Not be what? Yeah, everyone's victim to that category. Everyone's attached to the opposite sex. Or same sex, or as we said, whatever it is. It doesn't matter, it's just material attachment. Right? It doesn't matter what, but it's just the essence of it is material attachment. Everyone suffers from that. That's why we're in the material world. Prabhupada said, public enemy number one, Mr. Lust. Right? That's the enemy. The enemy is not Osama bin Laden or Donald Trump. Right? The enemy is lust. That's the problem for everyone. Huh? And then, so you said, it seems like it's impossible. Okay, it feels like it's impossible. It's not impossible. Many devotees became perfect. Many devotees gave up their material attachments. Even it says in Bhagavatam that Katwanga Maharaj gave up his attachment at the moment of death. Even that's okay. But don't try to rely on that. Yeah. Just like, you know, I know some people, they say, oh, you know, I'll get serious when I'm 80. Okay, I hope you do. But, you know, you have to see it as a long-term investment. Just like, you know, Warren Buffett, you know him? You never met him? Okay. So Warren Buffett, he's one of the richest men in the world. Right? One of the richest. He deals in stocks. He just buys things and sells things. But he always gives advice. He says, never buy a stock, never invest in something, unless you're willing to keep it for at least 10 years. Right? Because he says, everyone in this world, they want short-term, short-term, short-term. That's the way the world is now. Everything, I want it now, immediately. Right? I want fast internet. You know, the internet doesn't go like, oh, it's too slow. Like that. So people, yeah, everything has to be fast now. But it doesn't work like that. Spiritual life does not work like that. There's prayas, there's shreyas. Shreyas means long term. So you have to be willing. It feels like it's impossible, but it's not impossible. You have to have a long term goal. Krishna wants to see, are you committed for your whole life? Are you going to serve him your whole life? That's what Krishna wants to see. So is it possible to overcome the material desire? Yes, it is possible. Many devotees have done it. But you have to be serious. TK? Okay. Any other point?
That knot that we set in the heart, even if you cut it, like it will keep on growing again and again.
Only if you're on the lower levels of devotional service. Right, the lower levels. But once you get to the higher levels of bhakti, like anatta nivritti, that's what we're talking about. Anatta means unwanted thing in the heart. So that period, devotees can cross through that period for a long, long time, even lifetimes. You can be in that period of clearing out unwanted material desires. But once you get beyond that, you get to nishta, then things begin to accelerate quickly. Right, and then you go to ruchi, to asakti, to bhava, to prema. The reason we can't develop the higher levels, like every morning we say, after the 10 offenses, we say, and the ultimate goal, which is? Right, everyone says, Krishna Prem. Right? But the reason we're not getting Krishna Prem, Bahu Jamma Kadiyati, Bahu Jamma means lifetime, you can keep chanting for lifetime. The reason we're not getting Krishna Prem is because we're not getting rid of the material desires. Right? You have to go beyond anatta nivritti. right? Then everything, it's so much easier to perform devotional service when the material desires are gone. Then you can really make advancement, right? So that's when you have to accelerate, right? And then Hridaya Grantim, then those things, when you cut them, they are gone. At the moment, they keep coming back because we're not really free from the material desire. That's the point. No, but then you have to become free. So that's why we follow the Van Ashram system. Means you go through the different ashramas. What's the goal of Grihastha Ashram? Yeah, that's the first goal. But then what's the ultimate goal of it? To get out of it, yeah. But what's the goal of it? The goal of it is renunciation. Right? To become detached. That's why you go through it. You have a couple of kids and a wife and or a husband. You should be detached after 25 years. You should be. Because at the end you should be thinking, I don't want to keep doing this. Right? It's just Shrama Evihi Kevalam, Bhagavatam says. Just a useless waste of time. There's so much energy, so much energy, so much energy. You know, the kids never stop wanting. This problem, that problem, it keeps going. Everything I do, the wife criticizes me. Right? The husband can't do anything correct. You know, one time I was selling books, and I went up to one lady, and I said, I was giving her the book. And I said, you don't look very happy. She said, of course I'm not happy. My husband is an idiot. Right? So at the end of that, you should be detached. And then it's even okay. You can be like Vanaprastha, which means you can stay with the husband and wife can stay with each other even till the end. But their relationship transcends their bodily attachment. It's not based on their material relationship anymore. It's based on their spiritual relationship, right? Their partnership in serving Krishna, which is what the goal is. And then you become detached. That's why we say param drishtva. It's a superior thing. Not that we give up everything, but we replace it with superior desires and consciousness. Does it make sense? Yeah, good.
It's why the Bible time is not important. Because there's unlimited material desires that can be cultivated within your heart. Of course, an association with the material energy for so long. The Bhagavatam is so about, and you know, you mentioned that point about covering the knot. The Bhagavatam just chops a whole lot off.
Yeah.
And here in the Srimad Bhagavatam really focuses on what our purpose is every day, pretty much.
Yeah.
Why should the Prabhupada encourage us to regularly, or even the Bhagavatam itself, the Prabhupada encourage the devotees to regularly hear the Bhagavatam and then discuss it amongst themselves. Right? So that there's a deep understanding of what our purpose is, what the purpose of life is. So every morning we're reminded that the purpose of life is not self gratification, but the purpose of life is to serve Krishna. And that automatically all of our extraneous or other desires will be satisfied.
Yeah.
And recalibration every morning, and why we should read Prabhupada's books regularly and study them regularly, so that we won't be disturbed by the material desires, and we'll be able to purify them by being reminded all the time that our purpose is to serve Krishna.
Yeah, it's good.
And interesting, isn't it? So the Bhagavatam teaches us that actually you don't have to give up everything and go to the forest and renounce everything. But rather, there were so many examples in Bhagavatam of how we can serve and purify our material, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, it mentions that in order to progress spiritually, you have to become dhira. What does dhira mean?
Steady.
Yeah, steady means sober. So we see dhiras tatra namuyati. It's one of the most famous verses of Gita. What was the first line? Oh, that's a different verse. Dehinos minyata dehi. Kalmaram, yavana. So it's one of the most famous verses in Gita. So it says, dhira, you have to become dhira. Dhira means sober. So it says there are three places where humans become sober, dhira. One is the crematorium. Right? When someone is dying, you go to the funeral, everyone becomes detached, and everyone starts saying, oh, life is so short. Oh, we should catch up more often. Oh, we should be more... everyone gets like all philosophical in the crematorium, right? And then when they leave, they all go back to... And then it says in the hospital, right? When someone is sick, when you are sick or you're visiting someone sick, in the hospital, everyone becomes dhira. No, because everyone is suffering, so you become... Right? And the third place is the Bhagavatam class. Now, everyone becomes dhira. Everyone's sober. Oh, yes, it's true. I should become serious like that. But then the challenge is, what happens in between when you're visiting the crematorium, the hospital, and the Bhagavatam class? No, that has to permeate your consciousness. You have to carry that consciousness. Because, we walk outside, we all forget. Right? And then we become attached again, like that. So you have to carry that with you. Just like His Holiness Subhag Swami. You know Subhag Swami? One of the sannyasis in ISKCON, one of the gurus in ISKCON. So, I don't know if he's still doing it, but a few years ago, last time I saw him, he's carrying a recording device on him, and he has Prabhupada's lecture playing constantly. Like, where Maharaj is, because you can hear the lecture. He's walking around, like, literally has it audible. Like, so, anyone who's with him can actually hear Prabhupada. It's just like 24 hours a day, he's listening like that. So, why is he doing that? What's the point? Because he doesn't want to just be sober. Right, just inside the class. He keeps the class going. Right? So it's benefit. I mean, I don't do that. I don't listen, don't have it audibly playing on me all the time. But, during the day, when they have the spare time in between anything, then just plug into a lecture, plug in to something. These days you can do it. That's the one of the advantages of modern technology. Now, you can be listening, you can be Krishna conscious and listening to Krishna Katha 24 hours a day now. It's in the cloud. Yeah. Where is the cloud? There's one in America. There's one in Detroit. Detroit, they have a factory, and the whole factory is just one. It's literally one computer. It's just massive. It stores all our data. And then, as Russell said, they're probably all over the place. Yeah, they have them all over the place like that. So that, yeah. Yeah, that's the cloud. It's not actually a cloud, it's just a box somewhere in the world. But that's where all your information is stored. But the benefit is you can just plug into that. As long as the Wi-Fi is working, you can plug into that. As long as that technology does not fall apart. sometimes it goes down. Facebook gets hacked or something or all these things. But as long as it's there, you can plug in any time of the day. Or you can have your phone now, you can download so many things, you can just listen, as long as your battery does not run out. So, yeah, we're in a beneficial time to make advancements.
One of the interesting things, at least I don't know what others experience, is that usually around about 11 o'clock, I start thinking about what I've done. What I heard just comes back. That's a benefit because we can't all walk around with Prabhupada's lectures. I think when we're at work or whatever, but there's that internal purification that's Srimad Dhamma, Srimad Dhamma Swarupa Dara Krishna, Purya Dharma, Theta, Vinyata Swarupa Dharma, it actually has a it has an effect.
Mm.
Actually, it has an effect.
Mm.
And it an interesting machine, and it replays itself. Even though we don't, like sometimes, you know, you can be in the shower and all of a sudden, that's the solution to the problem that I've been thinking about for the last week, for example. The mind actually is a machine that works. And so the mind is an interesting solution to the mind meditating on, you know, the wrong things, because we inject the bhagavatam and then the mind just keeps replaying that. That's why, you know, regular absorption on a daily basis.
Yeah, there's...
The philosophy is so important, because otherwise we'll just replay the old movies. And usually that's going to be simpler for what we thought was a highlight in our lives. Either this lifetime or the previous lifetime, based on some concoction, you know, sense gratification. The Bhagavatam, we need to inject the Bhagavatam, and the Bhagavatam even takes any children bring in.
There's a nice example given that might have been Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur, but it's a nice example that one man was sick, and he was so sick that whatever he ate, he just threw it up. And then everyone said, oh, eat this, take that. You know, it says in India, everyone is a doctor, and everywhere is a toilet. Right? That's India. Yeah, every village has a guru, right? And everyone is a doctor. Everyone's telling him, do this, do this. So finally one doctor said to him, drink ghee. And he said, well, that's not going to work because everything just throws up. He said, no, drink ghee. So every day he's drinking ghee, right? And then throws it all up. But just, he said, no, just keep doing it, keep it, you'll get better. So what happened is that he'd drink ghee, throw up, but a little bit was sticking. A little bit was sticking. A little bit was sticking. And then he got better. Right? They cured him. Right? So the point is that, like, as Aniruddha Prabhu was saying, then we just keep hearing more, and then just gradually it will cure us of our material disease. And then one day you will wake up, and while you're chanting, you will see Radha and Krishna dancing on your tongue, and then you will be in Goloka Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada ki, please come again. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.